Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome once again to a very special edition of Falkirk Daft. It is Falkirk Daft meets, and today we are meeting a man who had two spells at the Bairns from 2005-2006, signing from Dundee, and then again in 2010-2011 after he signed from Ayr United after a wee spell in the States in between. He got 8 goals and 15 starts for the Bairns, 9 more appearances as a sub. It's Mr. Tam McManus. How you doing, Tam?
I'm brilliant. I take it you boys will be buzzing now with the way the team's gone.
Absolutely buzzing. Absolutely.
It's been a while, by the way. I thought you were never going to get out that league.
Well, yeah. Listen, I'll let you know just now, because episode's not going out for a while, but we're recording this on the 26th of February, and can I just say, Tam, I am not counting any chickens until that trophy is in the hands of Stephen McGinn. No. You know what, it's Falkirk supporters, but it's football supporters in general. Ross is a bit more confident, Tam. Me, I'm just like, right.
Oh, he's a romper. Come on, he's a romper.
Listen, that's your words, Tam, not mine, right? thanks very much for joining us. You know, I was just saying to you, Ross, I remember the second spell with you, and I don't remember when the 2006-2007 spell when you joined us from Dundee. On that, you only got 5 appearances there, but you were signed by a guy that you played alongside, Mr. John Hughes. How did that all come about?
Well, obviously Dundee had been relegated from the Premier League the season after that. We didn't get promoted, and then Alec Ray came in as a manager. They were looking to offload the higher earners at the club at Dundee at the time. They still had a few guys on kind of Premier League wages. So myself and Lee Wilkie were kind of ostracised. We were sent to train with the kids or whatever and basically made available for transfer. Lee went to Dundee United and I was fortunate to agree a payoff with Dundee. And then Big Yogi phoned me out of the blue. Do you want to come and play for Falkirk? Which was great. Falkirk in the Premier League at the time, flying. Probably one of the best teams you've had in a number of years. And I signed in the same day as Anthony Stokes and John Stewart. I think the three is signed at the same time. Obviously, Stokes, he was just up for Arsenal. I don't think he'd even kicked a ball in senior football, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Budgie signed, I think, for Aberdeen for 40 or 50 grand. So I was up against it straight away, particularly when Stokes get the nod in the first couple of games. Stokes get the nod before me, and I think he scored a hat-trick in his first game, or won his first game, so that was, I know you can't remember me from that spell, but I don't think many Falkirk fans would remember me from that spell, because I think I made 5 sub appearances, didn't even combine to 90 minutes, and I sat and watched Anthony Stokes and Alan Gow rip up until January, and then I departed and went to Dunfermline, but I didn't really get a chance that spell. You know, Yogi, I don't think I got a fair crack of the whip with Falkirk at that point. I think Anthony Stokes and Alan Gow were clearly on fire and you know, the regular front too, but the fact that he kept playing John Stewart in front of me
Jesus Christ. God almighty, Tam, what were you doing to let John Stewart get in front of you? Jeez.
I don't know what I was doing, by the way. I must have not been training well, but he kept playing Budgie. He kept bringing him on as a sub, and I was kind of fourth choice, and I couldn't stomach that. I understand why, because they paid 40 grand for him and they gave him a 3-year deal, and I was kind of on a deal with the end of the season. But that was a bit that stuck in my throat, and that's why I went and asked Yogi the night before the semi-final against Kilmarnock.
Oh, yeah.
I think Naismith scored a hat-trick that night. I went and seen Yogi and said, listen, Yogi, I need to go and play somewhere. You know, and he kind of hummed and hawed as if to say, you know, why do you want to leave? And I felt like saying, you know, I've been sitting here for three or four months, and I've not started a game, you know, so I need to go and play somewhere. Unfortunately, I went to the great rivals of Dunfermline, but I had to get out and play football, and that was the thing. It wasn't Stokesy and Alan Gow. I think Stokesy went to Sunderland. And Alan Gow went to Falkirk. They had a little magician playing in behind them, Russell Latterpoo, who obviously I knew from Hibs, and I was dying to get an opportunity, because I knew playing with Russell. I played him at Hibs, and he set up so many of my goals at Hibs, and he was just a genius for a striker to play with. And unfortunately, I never get many opportunities, and I left for Dunfermline. So I don't blame you for not remembering me in my first spell.
No, I mean, how hard was that though? Because obviously you played with Yogi at Hibs, Tam, and like you're then working under him. How did that kind of dynamic in that relationship change?
Obviously, I knew Yogi from Hibs. He was a massive character at Hibs. I think Yogi's last game for Hibs was at Tynecastle, which was my first start for Hibs. So, you know, I was there as a kid coming through, and I loved Yogi. He was a big character in the dressing room. You know that from Falkirk as well.
Yeah.
Big, loud character and a leader. And it was strange at first, because, you're used to calling him Yogi and your teammate, and then I had to go and call him Gaffer when we went to Falkirk. And no, listen, Yogi done a great job at Falkirk. You know that yourself. So, particularly that team that season. He's a very, very good side, strong side. But it was just unfortunate that I never get many opportunities. As I said, I wasn't knocking the door thinking, you know, I should be starting games, but the fact that I wasn't really coming on at times was the bit that stuck in my throat, because I trained well. Listen, you had to train well at Falkirk. Yogi, you'll never train harder than you will under Yogi's shoes. You know, when I first went in there, I think the first day I went in, we were in Stirling University, we were doing squats and pull-ups and dips, and honestly, the first two or three legs, I couldn't feel my legs and my arms. It was mental. It really worked the boys hard, but it was great for your fitness. So there was no getting away with anything at Falkirk. You had to get in there and work your backside off, and I felt as if I'd done that, and I never really had any opportunity out of it. But that was the main reason. But I'm not against Yogi. Listen, I still see Yogi all the time, and we laugh about it. And I hope he gets into management somewhere. I think he's still got a bit of offer.
He's been out for some time, hasn't he? It's been a few years now since the Wraith thing. Wraith was his last gig, wasn't it? Tam, you mentioned, obviously, Anthony Stokes there and wee Russell. Obviously, even in training, it must have been phenomenal playing with these guys and seeing what they can do.
Yeah, listen, I know Russell well from Hibs. He was actually played in his first ever trial game. He played, came over from Portugal, I think it was at Porto, when he played for Hibs in a reserve game against Brechin City, at Brechin City. And as you can imagine, I think it was January or something, it was freezing. And you see this wee guy coming out with the gloves and the tights and all that on, you think, he's not going to fancy breaking in a windy night in the reserves. And I think after about 10 minutes, Alec McLeish was watching in the stand, and he just said, "That'll do, Russ, off you come." And a quagmire of a pitch. He was a different class. He was one of the best players I ever played with. He was a tremendous player. And just training him every day, you know, he was just so laid back. He's also one of the best players I've ever seen training after a night out. And, you know, he'd honestly, I remember it so many times at Hibs. I used to see him at 2 and 3 in the morning, thinking he can't be training tomorrow. And he would come in at 1:10, stick his gear on, half cut, and go and run amok in training. So he was not only a great character, but great off the pitch as well, Russell.
So you would have had a couple of nights out with Russell around Edinburgh, did you?
Yeah, I did. He loved a night out. You know, and that led to his demise at Hibs when famously he went out for a midweek night out with Dwight York, and that was the week of the Scottish Cup final against Celtic, I think back in 2001. And Alec McLeish had made it a normal week. He had Monday, Tuesday train, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday Cup final on the Saturday, and Russell never turned up on the Thursday. And so I think it must have been some night out with Dwight York, and it was in the papers as well, I think, that night as well, night out with him. So Alan McLeish binned him for the final, and then I think he went to Rangers that summer. It was great fun. We actually went to Trinidad and Tobago with Hibs pre-season. I was only a boy, but 1999-2000, we went to Trinidad, and he was like a god over there. You know, he came off the plane, there was 4 or 5 TV companies, cameras in his face as soon as he came off the plane. There was a band playing. or Russell Lappy. We went out for a night out in Trinidad. It was him and Brian Lara, who's obviously a famous name in Trinidad and Tobago as well. And every single person just went to Russell Lappy for a photo or a signature. So he's an absolute god in Trinidad.
I heard he had a school named after him in Trinidad. I don't know how much there's truth in that. And there's also a story I think Yogi tells about. He was staying overnight with Brian Lara, and Mick Jagger was just kicking about Brian Lara's house as well, because he's a big cricket fan, which is incredible.
It was, honestly, the scenes when we went to Trinidad, I've never seen it like it. It was like a rock star coming off a plane, and he was massive in Trinidad, so... I think he played in the World Cup with him. I think he had over 100 caps. So, Russell was... It was great to play with him at Hibs, and unfortunately, I never get much time to play with him in my spell at Falkirk, but you will know yourself, he's probably one of the best players ever to play on a Falkirk jersey.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Just before we sort of move on from that season, Tam, one of our mutual friends and friend of the podcast, Big Gordy, he says I've to ask you about a story about Anthony Stokes and Carol Dodd.
this was a mental night. It was a Christmas night out under Yogi. So right. We went out in Edinburgh. So I was obviously the next Hibs player. I was kind of charged with finding the pubs and the places to go. Anyway, we had a great night. It was a Saturday and a Sunday. It was a doubler with the Monday off. So the first night we were there, the Saturday night, we're all having a good scoop. And we ended up going to a nightclub called, I think it was City. We went to a nightclub called City. I don't know if it's still there. And we came outside, and it was me, Stokesy, Carol Dodd, and the big boy Higgins, the goalkeeper.
Higgins.
Scott Higgins, aye. So the four of us were outside, and we're waiting for a taxi to go somewhere else. So we get in a taxi, and cut a long story short, after about a minute in this taxi, big Higgins and Carol Dodd are basically batting hell out of Anthony Stokes in the back of the taxi, like on the ground, punching him. I'm trying to pull them off. Don't know what Stokes had said, whatever, but the two of them were learning. So the taxi driver stopped at George Street and threw us all out. So I'm trying to calm it down. Stokes has got a black eye, and they're two big Australian boys. I want to kill him. So I'm like, oh, leave it. So then the two Australian boys went away, and Anthony Stokes went on the phone to someone in Ireland and was trying to get someone over the next day to sort these two Australian boys. Now, you can make your own mind up who was on the phone. I'm trying to pull the phone off him, saying, "Stop saying, no, don't be doing that." He was on the phone to somebody in Ireland saying, "I want these two guys dealt with them, brother." So, by the way, I've maybe saved Carol Dodd and Scott Higgins' kneecaps. And I'll never know until if they've ever watched this. They'll not know how close they were to maybe getting a serious banking.
Exactly. Yeah. Amazing. You obviously didn't work at that first time around with Falkirk, Tam, but you moved on, you went over to across the Kincardine Bridge to Dunfermline, and then you kind of floated about, you know, between Colorado, Derry, Air United, in between. We just try to find your feet a wee bit. And where were you most comfortable in between those spells?
Well, obviously, I went to Dunfermline under Stephen Kenny, and I went and had a really good spell at Dunfermline. And unfortunately, we got relegated that season. When I signed, we were miles behind. It was about 9 or 10 points behind, but we managed to put a run together, and I think we only went down late, maybe the second last game of the season. And then Falkirk played this in the last game of the season, beat us 3-0. I remember rubbing
you
that in.
That
was not a good day. So, and big Yogi smiling at the side as we were getting hammered. So, after that, you know, in the Championship with Dunfermline, again, you know, they were wanting to offload people who were maybe on a higher wage. And I got an opportunity to go to Colorado Rapids, which was fantastic, to go and play in the MLS. Played over there, again, change of manager midway through the season. New guy came in. And my face didn't fit, and I found myself back at Derry City with Stephen Kenny again, signing for them again. And then Air United. And then that's what a good season at Air United under Brian Reid in the Championship. And I remember they unfortunately get relegated as well, which is a regular theme, maybe. They get relegated as well, and then I was without a club. So I remember I was good friends with Mark Twaddle, Glenn Badfies, and Ross Wilson from my first spell.
Yeah.
So I was in by Elvis was the manager. And he started the season poorly. He weren't scoring goals. And I was on the big twad saying, listen, come on. Say to Big Elvis or say to wee Ross, get me back in, you know, even for a trial. So I got a phone call one day from Stephen Presley. Now, I played against Stephen Presley loads of times in Edinburgh derbies. Despised him. I hated playing against him. He just always chatted and Hearts would always pump us. And he was always in my ear saying, you're rubbish, yous are crap, these are bottlers. And so the last person I ever expected to phone me was Stephen Presley. And I actually hung up on him the first time because he, you know, his voice, you know, Stephen Presley for Falkirk football. That's a terrible impression. But
that was good, actually.
He phoned me and I thought, beat it, and put the phone. That's what he was one of my pals, you know. And then he phoned up again and said, no, this is Stephen Presley for Falkirk football club. And then I came in trial. And I remember coming in trial, we played in a Stirlingshire Cup game. again, Stirling Albion at the Falkirk Stadium. And Elvis was at the game, there was not a bad crowd there, and I thought, I need to play well here. This is my chance to get back into it. And I got a penalty after about half an hour, and I've never been as nervous walking up to this penalty because I thought, I need to score this. And I scored that we won, and I played well anyway. They gave me a deal at the end of the season, Big Elvis, which was great. Debut game, Queen of the South at home. I remember, this is probably before social media, I remember going to the 1F and Falkirk website, that was your
phone. Oh, yeah, Yeah.
Yes, and I was getting slaughtered. Why are we signing this Diddy? You know, I was getting slaughtered. Anyway, I thought to myself, right, come on, this is a big game for me. And Elvis put me straight, I had not played since the last game of the following season, and this was, you know, maybe September. And I had the game of my life, I played really well, scored two goals, they won 3-1. And then the following week, Morton at home, we won 2-0, I think. I played well again. And then Hearts in the League Cup. Obviously, me being an ex-Hibs player, I was so fired up for the game. And then 2 minutes into it, I think I turned to make a tackle or something, and my knee totally buckled. Yeah. And that was me out for about 6 or 7 months. So after a great start, you know, I was out for 6 or 7 months. But what I will say about Stephen Presley, I don't know how he's rated amongst the Falkirk fans. I thought he was a terrific manager, but not only that, a terrific guy. I wasn't on a lot of money at Falkirk. I think I was on 350 quid a week in the Championship. He told me, Tam, we've no money, we've no budget, this is all I can give you.
Yeah.
And I had nothing else. You know, I hadn't had a club or been paid, so I said, right, no bother, I'll sign it. But I had a decent appearance money, so he said, listen, if you're playing and we're winning games, you'll get a decent wage.
Right.
And obviously I was injured after two games. So I was getting, I don't know, £200, £250 appearance. So my first wage after I got injured, I seen all these appearances, £250, £250, £250, and I thought, I think they've made an arse of this year. So I phoned the girl at Falkirk. I said, listen, I think you're overpaying me. You know, I'm getting this appearance money, and she turned around and said, no, that's Stephen Presley's appearance money. He's giving you it.
Oh wow!
So Stephen Presley was getting a win bonus or whatever it was, and he was paying me. Because he knew I was on more money. So Stephen paid all the appearance monies, all the win bonuses during that time I was injured. Elvis put them in my account.
That's
I can't speak highly enough of him. I hated him as a player, but as a manager and a man, absolute terrific guy.
I mean, that squad at that time as well, I mean, Stephen was, you know, brought all through a lot of youth. I mean, I don't know, his hand was kind of forced, but there was a lot of good young players in that squad as well. Anyone sort of stand out? I mean, when I'm looking down the squad list, Tim, there's actually Ryan Funn still playing for St. Man. That's hard to think. Obviously, a boy that you played alongside is still out there playing.
I remember, so obviously, the end of that season, I came back in this again. Elvis Falkirk were struggling financially. I think that's well documented. And with a trial game against Alloa, and I scored that day actually. But Farid El Alagoui was playing that day for Falkirk as well.
Yeah.
And he scored as well. So it was basically a straight toss up between me and him. And I think he made the right move. I don't mind saying, because I think Farid scored about 25 goal threes that season. But I remember coming in the pre season, because you get ready. All your high earners, I think Twaddle had left, Burton O'Brien had left, Brian McLean, all these guys, Carol Finnegan, all these guys that were on high money had left, and Elvis was had nothing. So I came in, he says, listen, come in for pre-season time, keep yourself ticking over at Stirling Uni. And I came in, and I did not recognise the dressing room. It was all kids. And I thought, no way. Liam Dick, the Fultons.
Yeah. Wee Sybil between
Conor McGrandles. Kingsley was there. All these young boys in the first team dressing room. And I'm thinking, by the way, Big Elvis is up against it here. And he never had a coin. He never had a bean to spend.
Yeah.
And I came in and done pre-season and all that. And then I think I eventually signed for United. I can't remember. But Hughes had a great season that season. Falkirk had a great season. I think he's finished in the top three in the league. And he's got to the semi-final with the... He won the cups. We Carol Higginbotham there and guys like that. And Elvis done a great job. But I remember looking in that dressing room that day and thinking Falkirk will be in the bottom two. I thought Hughes would have been in the bottom two. And when I seen that squad, he'd nothing. I think he signed Darren Dodds for a wee bit of experience. Yeah. I think Mark Muller was there. But honestly, and he had to play them all. Mm. He'd no other option but to play the boys. And thankfully, a lot of them have went on and had... Great careers, you know, that we felt instilled in at Swansea playing.
Yeah.
Stephen Kingsley, you know, guys like that. Conor McGrandles a good career in England.
Yeah.
So he had to play Liam Dick still at Raith Rovers. So fair play to Elvis for playing all the boys. He had no other option. And I think it takes a brave manager to, when you're next in the line, really, to play all the boys. And
Sam, even going back to your story about like helping you out with the finances and stuff, I'd be shocked if too many people know that story. And I think it probably tells you everything you need to know about him as a man. His tenure was mixed in terms of, like, I actually thought he had a big pair of balls in him. See, when he first got the job and he's like, we will stay up in the Premier League and all that kind of stuff. What else is he going to say? Oh no, we're resigned to relegation. He's not going to say that. And it obviously didn't. We fell short on the last day of that season that he took the job, but I think that's a fantastic measure of the guy. Absolutely.
No, listen, he's down at Brentford now, and I loved him. He also gave Jack Compton the biggest rollicking I've ever seen. We played Peterhead away in a pre-season game. Don't know if you remember it under Steve. I think they lost 2-1. Jack Compton was a frustrating player. He on his day, he was unbelievable, but he was lazy. He was very, very lazy, and Elvis used to get on him all the time. And after that game, Elvis came in and sat everybody down. They just went right through Compton, slaughtered them. You'll never make it as a football player. You're the guy. You're the type of guy that'll get managers the sack, so you'll not get me the sack. Tell your agent you can go tomorrow. I don't want you in this dressing room. And filleted him for about 10 minutes. It was, he was a good man manager, but when you... I remember the big boy came on loan for Rangers as well, centre-half. Can't remember his name at that time.
Was it Perry?
Ross Perry had a nightmare in one of the games. I think we were 2-0 up. We drew 2-2 and he settled the 2 goals. And again, roasted him. But I think he had that side to him as well. But the other side, it was a good man manager and stuff. So, no, I thought he'd done a pretty good job at Falkirk overall.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. I want to talk about a guy that you would have been playing up front. And I mean, obviously, you were played by injury that season, Tam, but Pedro Moutinho, the enigma that is Pedro Moutinho. What was Pedro like? I've always wondered, what is Pedro like? Because he was an absolute enigma. And on his day, he was an absolute world beater. And then other times, he was just a nightmare.
Pedro was a good character, technically a very good player. Again, I think if he was consistent, he probably wouldn't be playing in Scotland. Liked a night out, liked a fag. Him and B. Russell were smoking buddies. He liked a fag. Liked a night out. But I like Pedro. I believe he's still staying in the area. I've not seen him.
He was playing for Burnley or something at one point. I don't know if he's picked the ball.
I don't know why maybe he's got a Scottish girlfriend or wife or something, but I don't know why he would want to stay here rather than going back to Portugal. But Pedro's a good lad, good player as well. But again, you're right. He was capable, frustrating player, capable of a brilliance. But then another time, he would maybe fall over the ball. But I think that's probably why he's a bit of a cult hero at Falkirk.
Absolutely.
Tam, obviously, going back to something you said there about your time at Colorado, obviously you would have, you scored a few goals. We were having a wee look at that, and John might have a clip here as well. You would have famously played against Beckham in your time there as well. How did you fare against him?
Brilliant. They were obviously there's a salary cap in America, and they had Beckham and Landon Donovan, and the rest of them were just college kids. So they were rubbish. I think they finished bottom of the division. We beat them 4-0 at home. They were poor, and Beckham was just, I think he was just there to, you know, for a holiday and for his wife to stay in Los Angeles. But I tried to get his strip. One of the games we lost 3-2 in LA. And a couple of minutes to go, I was playing up front. I ended up just playing left wing. I was just man-marking them. The last couple of minutes, I thought, I need to get his strip. So the final whistle went, and I was straight over him. David, can I get your jersey? Yeah, no problem. Come and see me after the game. Come and knock in the dressing room, and I'll give you it, no problem. So, obviously, after the game, I'm at a beeline for the dressing room, and there's two big bully security guards. And I'm saying, oh, David said he was going to give me his top. So he went, okay, 2 minutes, and they shouted in, David, there's a guy here. And I heard some sort of mumble, and the guy says, no, he's giving it to somebody else, sorry.
Oh.
That was a killer, because I'd like to have got his strip. We had a guy, Terry Cook, playing for Colorado, who played for Man City, Man United winger, and yeah. I think he promised him it. And so, no, I never got it. But a great experience to play against him for LA. I think Rude Tulip was their manager as well. So there was a lot of big names in the MLS even back then.
Yeah. We've been doing our research, Tam, here at Falkirk Daft, and we've picked out probably the best goal at Colorado, and I don't know if it's the best goal you've ever scored, but I just want to share it with you just so you get your thoughts on it. Hold on there.
Ihimlu to McManus. Shot on goal. Oh! What a score by Tom McManus! From way downtown! 2-1! The Rapids pull one back!
Wow, what a goal that is, Tam.
I think that was altitude assisted. and the goalkeeper was Brad Guzan, who's so I mean, Colorado was a tough place to play. I mean, it was a mile above sea level, it was altitude, and when I first went there, I really, really struggled. I could hardly breathe. There was no air at all. And so once you got acclimatized, I was the fittest I'd ever been in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, you could run all day. And we used to play against teams, and you would see them like after 60, 70 minutes, they would just die. You know, they would be knackered. So we won a lot of games late on. So it was a big advantage for us. And the ball flew. You could shoot from anywhere.
Yeah, really? Was there that much of a difference?
Yeah, it was thin. And you could shoot from anywhere. The ball would rocket, you know, because there was no air. But no, that was a great experience to go and play in Colorado. You know, going and playing against Toronto and seen Chicago and all over places, you know, in America and Canada, and playing against guys like David Beckham and stuff like that. So that was probably one of the best years of my career, playing over there.
No, but I mean, was that the best goal you've scored? What's your, in fact,
no,
what's
probably,
the best
goal? It probably happens against Rangers. I scored a volley. Scored a volley. I scored a good goal at Parkhead as well, against Celtic, Foreheads. So, listen, I was not a great goal scorer. You know, my record's pretty poor for a striker, but I scored some great goals, to be honest. So, but probably my best record for goals to games ratio was Falkirk, my second spell.
Yeah, but that was almost a goal every two games.
I had a good decent record at Falkirk. So that was probably the best spell I had in terms of goals to games ratio.
Any goals stand out in your Falkirk career, Tam?
Probably my first one against Queen of the South. You know, I came back. A lot of fans weren't sure. You know, I kind of bounced about, but I came back and I played really well that first game, and straight away the fans got behind me again. You know, at the Falkirk Stadium to win 3-1, got the ball at my feet and put it in the bottom corner and scored in the second half. Apart from that, I can't really remember any spectacular goals. But as I was getting older, I would kind of poach a little bit more because I couldn't run about as much. There was a lot of goals inside the box rather than goals like that when I got older.
Oh, you had young legs running around you that time anyway, Tam, so you'd been all right.
I did.
Have you got back to the stadium like since, you know, you're a Hibs boy, obviously, Tam, but have you been able to get over to a Falkirk game now and again?
I've not been to a Falkirk game in a wee while now. I was covering it when I was working at the BBC. I was covering quite a lot of Falkirk games for Open All Mates when Falkirk were Premier League of Championship. I was covering a lot of games. I've not been for a while. I know Gordon Prophet, big Falkirk fan. I know he fills me in every time I speak to him about something that isn't related to football. Within 30 seconds of the conversation, he asked me about Falkirk. Have you seen a Falkirk? Have you seen all that flying? You'll meet a bigger Falkirk fan than Big Gordon. So he keeps me up to date with everything that's happening. But I'm so glad to see the club on the verge of getting back into the Championship. As I said, I played with the club in the Premier League and the Championship. So to see a club that size been stuck in League One for so long, and then a succession of managers come in and it didn't work out, Hartley and Gary Holt and guys like that, the club seemed to be getting torn apart. So it's great to see new board members, you know, a freshness in at Falkirk, a guy, John McGlynn, who is a real good football man. Not only winning games for you, but playing good football. So I think Championship is minimum where Falkirk should be. You should be pushing to get into the Premier League again. Maybe you will be next season.
Yeah. Everything's just in a, kind of coming together as a almost like a perfect storm in a good way, Tam. As you said, it's obviously a fresh board there. The fans are heavily, heavily invested into the club now. The crowds are back, 5,500 the other week there. So, yeah, long may it continue. Hopefully we'll get you back at some point into the stadium before the end of the season as well. Maybe on trophy day. John will hate me for saying it, but maybe on trophy day.
Oh, don't say it yet. Don't say it. By the time this podcast goes out, hopefully, like I say, the trophy's in the cabinet already. Well, wait and see. Have your paths, I know you're more into the media side of things, Tam, but have you thought about going into coaching yourself?
Yeah, I've done my coaching badges. I've done the B licence and the A licence. I'm coaching down at Braithurst. I've been in at the performance school at Braithurst in Motherwell for about 5 years now.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm in two or three days a week in there, individual coaching, coaching the forwards, technical stuff. It's only Monday to Friday. I'm not involved at the weekends because I'm pretty busy. But no, I've been in coaching with SFA for 4 or 5 years now. Management, probably not. I look at some of the guys now getting 6 or 7 games and being under pressure. It's not an industry that I'd like to go into, to be honest. I think that, you know, managers, and probably comes from guys like me now in the media, you know, you're under scrutiny straight away in terms of your management skills and winning games. So I'm probably happy doing what I'm doing in the media and a little bit of coaching and built up not a bad wee career for myself. So to give all that up and to go and be a manager and get sacked after a couple of months, I don't think I'm prepared to do that at the minute. But you never know in the future. But at the moment, I'm just quite happy doing coaching the kids and trying to improve them.
A lot of good talent coming through. Do you see that?
A lot of good talent coming through. As I said, they've been in there for 4 or 5 years, and every year the talent's getting better and better. You know, guys like Alex Lowry and Max Johnson have come through there that have gone on and done well, and the performance skills are now, it's now starting to bear fruit in terms of your Billy Gilmores and Nathan Parsons and guys like that coming through. So, yeah, I think the talent's always been there. It's maybe just the dedication and being professional, which maybe we've been lacking, but I think that's coming into line as well. You know, young kids with their diets and training hard in the gym. So I think it's all coming together in the next few years. I think the Scottish national team is going to be very, very strong.
That's good to hear.
Sam, I agree. I think that's brilliant because obviously we're all desperate for, well, Falkirk and Scotland to be doing well.
But, absolutely.
Totally agree. Two very quick last questions, if we may. And I know, because John will probably have this in his head as well. Who did you prefer playing for, Falkirk or Dunfermline? That's for question one. Second, what was your username on 1F and Falkirk back in the day?
I don't know. I don't think I has a username. But listen, I had two spells at Falkirk, longer at Falkirk, probably more successful at Falkirk. So I'll probably upset the Dunfermline fans with saying Falkirk. But
oh, that's all right. It's fine.
I think both clubs, you know, Falkirk and Dunfermline are clubs that should be pushing. Dunfermline found themselves in League One for a while as well. I think Falkirk and Dunfermline should be pushing to get in the Premier League. Both big clubs, big towns, football mad. Great rivalry between the two. And I was on the end of two, actually. I remember playing for Falkirk the last game of the season when Dunfermline won the league at East End Park. Yeah. And I had to go back to the Falkirk. And then I was on the other side when I was playing for Dunfermline and Falkirk came and beat us 3-0. So I've had a nightmare playing in that game, I have to say Falkirk. If I don't say Falkirk, Big Gordon Prophet will be on the phone tomorrow.
I think he will.
Yeah. Well, that's it, Tam. Thanks so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft. We really appreciate your time. Great to see you doing so well after football, and love the stuff you're doing in the media as well, mate. So thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate your time. And that is it for this week's edition of Falkirk Daft Meets. Thank you, Tam McManus.
Cheers, guys. All the best.